Right now, I'm expecting a call from Reverend Ted Pike, who is going to discuss the new hate bill legislation that's, again, before Congress. It seems like every January, the international Jew tries to pass this hate bill legislation that we aren't allowed to have a free speech anymore, and therefore any kind of bad speech or any actions intended in their eyes to hurt either Jews or gays or blacks or what have you, so-called minority groups. And folks, the white race is becoming a minority as we speak, so maybe we'll qualify for hate speech legislation pretty soon. And so, you know, it works. It cuts both ways, folks. We can take advantage of this lousy legislation ourselves. And so I'm expecting Reverend Ted Pike to call in shortly to discuss this bill. But let me just get into the document that he's put out. Emergency alert, hate bill introduced into Congress by Reverend Ted Pike. The federal hate crimes bill was reintroduced Wednesday by Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. It is now titled the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, H.R. 256, and is a condensed version of the longer Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, H.R. 1592, which failed to gain final approval from Congress last year. Jackson Lee also submitted a new companion bill, the David Ray Richardson Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009, H.R. 262. This bill will permit federal involvement in states to prevent hate crimes and assist hate crimes victims. Okay, so in other words, the hate crimes victims are never white people unless, of course, they are homosexuals. And I don't know if they want to count women, you know, crimes against women. Rape can be defined as a hate crime, too. And just about any crime can be defined as a hate crime because most crimes are committed, you know, in the heat of passion, except for cold-blooded, you know, hits by the mob. Usually crimes like this where people are killed involve a certain amount of hate. So this all this silly talk, in my opinion, is just plain silly. Reverend Pike, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and welcome to the show. And tell us about it. And you've been campaigning against this legislation for many years, and I commend you for all the work you've been doing to counter this effort. Why don't you give us a little bit of history of this hate crimes legislation here?
Well, to understand all forms of hate crimes legislation, especially the big federal hate crimes bill now before Congress, we need just a little history lesson. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is the architect of hate crimes legislation worldwide.
Right.
In 1971, they, after about 10 years of lobbying, they were able to persuade a parliament to enact their federal hate crimes bill, and that became the Section 319, the National Hate Crimes Law of Canada.
Okay.
Now, at that time, ADL argued to these legislators that this bill would in no way ever threaten free speech. It was an attempt to end violent bias and hate crimes on the provincial level, and no way would it overflow its legal restraints and boundaries. It was meant to also to quell violent hatred, violence-inciting hate speech, you see. And so they bought that line. They voted it into law. But very quickly what happened was that the liberal legislators, the liberal jurists in all of the provinces began to say, well, we need to do more than just protect homosexuals from physical violence. We need to protect them from verbal violence.
Right.
You know those words, those
exactly.
Cunning words that come out of the Bible that say that homosexual is an abomination,
that's
homosexuality
right.
is an abomination, and so on.
Yes.
And so very quickly, this supposedly restricted national law became a speech crime or a thought crime law in Canada,
right.
So that right now in Canada, if you are on the airwaves, if you are a writer, if you are a pastor in a pulpit, even if you are a person on a street corner, if you criticize homosexuality in public, or if you criticize the Jews by saying the Jews had Christ killed 2,000 years ago, that's considered verbal violence, that's considered a hate crime.
Right.
And the preliminary fine is never less than $5,000.
Wow.
And if you repeat that offense from the pulpit or anywhere else for the rest of your life, you're facing contempt of court, and which means prison time.
Right. But now, isn't this totally contrary to the spirit of the First Amendment, which guarantees every American the right of freedom of speech?
Absolutely, but they don't have the First Amendment in Canada.
In Canada, right.
Yeah, like the British system and continental system, they are much more liberal in their permission.
No doubt.
Yeah. So now, the crucial factor right now to remember is that the same people, the same organization, which is ADL B'nai B'rith, in alliance with the homosexual lobby and other liberal groups, the same group of people is trying to establish the same kind of law essentially here for the United States of America. And I just announced it Thursday. Jackson Lee, Representative Jackson Lee of Texas, has just introduced the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act.
Okay.
This is a condensed, shorter version of H.R. 1592, which was the big House federal hate bill that was actually didn't get passed last term of Congress.
Good.
Now, yeah, and you know, it was interesting. I was talking at length, really, to her legislative expert on the hate bill, and he told me, quite frankly, that the criticism that is coming from the religious right, conservative Christians, is that hate laws take away free speech is now so pervasive in Congress that he has his doubts whether they can even pass the hate bill this time around.
Praise Yahweh. Yeah.
That just astonished me.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said is that the people behind the scenes, which of course is the ADL, are taking that contingency into account, and they've created another hate bill, which Jackson Lee introduced. It's called the David Ray Richardson.
You shouldn't even think about criticizing a homosexual. Here's Orwell, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's the David Ray Richardson Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which is ostensibly a softer attempt to invade states' rights by the federal government. And what they say is this is for education and prevention of hate crime. This
okay.
means basically the ADL will have a free federal license to come in and teach our kids in our schools the evil of homophobia, make absolutely sure they won't be prone to hate-motivated violence, on and on. You can just imagine.
Let me kind of restate what you're saying here. So instead of trying to attack freedom of speech, which they admit is not going to work, what they want to do is institute more disinformation, more propaganda in the schools to, quote-unquote, educate our children to be pro-homosexual.
Yeah, but even if they do, and I should have mentioned also that the second bill, the contingency bill, H.R. 262, also wants to give federal aid to hate crimes victims.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you imagine all the homosexuals who claim...
Right, lining up. They're lining up already.
They've had to have psychiatric treatment because they've heard words from the pulpit, all that kind of thing.
They should have had that before they became homosexuals.
Yeah. So anyway, this is he told me, this the legislative expert told me, that they feel that the best chance maybe is in the second bill. If the first one doesn't pass, at least they have the foot in the door on the statewide level of the federal government being involved, actively involved in preventing hate crimes, with federal money, federal endorsement, federal lawyers, federal police, everything there to prevent hate crimes, this huge national problem.
Right.
You know, by the way, I have a quite a powerful 10-minute video that is being shown on YouTube now and so on. And if people would like to listen to that 10-minute video, it's a real fast way that you and your friends can get an education on hate laws. Anyway, in that video, I point out that, you know, the ADL always comes out once a year and they say, oh, we have 7,500 hate crimes in the United States. The government, the FBI, and their uniform crime report says this is 300 more than last year, or whatever they say. Anyway, 7,500 hate crimes, wow, that sounds like a lot. Well, but they're not, they're bogus hate crimes. They are
right.
just words that homosexuals and blacks and Chicanos bandy back, and threats and
sure.
even fisticuffs and things like that. Not even 2% of these supposed hate crimes have been adjudicated
mm-hmm.
in a court of law.
Yeah.
Now, furthermore, you know, 7,500 sounds like a lot, but do you realize there's 13 million conventional crimes
mm-hmm.
every year in the United States?
Right.
That boils down to, even if there were 7,500 hate crimes, that boils down to 1/15
right.
of 1% of crime in America.
Yeah. It's totally negligible, right.
So this is entirely smoke and mirrors.
Exactly.
We don't have a national hate crime epidemic in America.
Well, yeah, it reminds me, it's typical liberalism. The way they operate is to create a problem.
Yes.
It doesn't exist.
Or is there
an exception? And then create a national campaign against the non-existent problem.
That's
and
right.
And influence Congress to pass a restrictive Orwellian legislation. Now, let me just point something out here, because 2 years ago when Brokeback Mountain came out, and they're still making, you know, a big deal about Brokeback Mountain, you know, with two homosexual cowboys,
sure.
all right?
Uh-huh.
And I wrote an editorial about that movie. And I showed that the average homosexual is 10 times more likely to be injured or attacked by a fellow homosexual than he is by any heterosexual.
Yes.
Because their very lifestyle, with all the drugs, with the crazy sex, with the and many of it is fetish sex and you know, near-death sex, where they actually put a noose around each other
yeah, uh-huh.
and try to strangle, and all of these crazy practices, they are 10 times more likely to be harmed by their fellow homosexuals than they are by heterosexuals. Therefore, they should legislate against each other.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this second bill will create a kind of a welfare class, welfare recipients of homosexuals
yes.
beating who've been beaten up by other homosexuals.
Uh-huh,
they have a federal
uh-huh.
welfare bill. Well, the important thing to remember is that both of these bills are federal intrusions into states' rights matters, states' rights law enforcement, and so on. And this second bill is should be defeated, because basically they're laying a foundation there for more federal involvement and meddling and all
yeah.
kinds of things. And that can be expanded through a subsequent enabling legislation and decisions from the bench, on and on and on. We just have to keep the hate crimes genie inside of its bottle
mm-hmm.
and continue to trust and to rest in the our traditional English law,
yes.
which has basically done a good job for centuries.
Okay, well, before we go on, why don't you give people your contact info, how they can find out, how to get involved in this, and you know, how to contact their legislature, et cetera.
Yes, you bet. Well, the place to come right now for your complete educational program and fighting this hate bill is www.truthtellers.org. At truthtellers.org, we have a wealth of information, literature. Actually, we have a brochure there, a flyer, which can be printed front and back online. You can print it off, take it to your copy shop, and make hundreds of flyers. It's a very powerful little flyer, gives a powerful arguments against the hate bill, as well as quite a number of cases in Canada and European countries of people who have been fallen under the sword of the hate crimes
right.
bureaucracy.
Exactly.
Also, I mentioned earlier, we've just come out with a 10-minute video, fast-moving, hard-hitting video. You can also just go to the homepage at truthtellers.org. Click on, and you can watch this 10-minute movie. In fact, you can link it to your friends. You can put it, I understand, on Facebook, MySpace, whatever, on the Internet, and get that out there. Get it working right now. Now, what we have to remember is that we don't have too much time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was told by this legislative aide that with the stimulus package dominating Congress right now, it'll be about 3 weeks before they really start getting into high gear and pushing these two bills through
yeah.
the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
Now I do have an article up at Truth Tellers, my latest article explaining in detail exactly how we defeated this bill last time around in
okay.
the 110th Congress, and what you can do to make sure it's defeated again. This is
Excellent.
Not conventional. We're not conventional lobbyists that say, well, just make your obligatory call to your member of Congress.
Right.
No, we're saying what we did last time is we realized with the limited resources of the listeners to largely alternative talk radio and the internet, we were going to have to concentrate our firepower on the most influential opinion makers, decision makers concerning the hate bill in Congress,
mm-hmm.
and those were the 40 members, Republican and Democrat,
mm-hmm.
of the House Judiciary Committee,
okay.
which was considering the hate bill, you see.
Right.
And so what we did is for about
So you have a list of those people?
Well, we don't yet because it changes every Congress.
Oh, okay.
About 20 new members of the judiciary will come in a couple of weeks. Now, at that time, we will repeat what we did last time so effectively. I'll get on the radio. I'll send out e-alerts. And by the way, everybody should sign up for our free e-alerts at Truth Tellers. This gives you the minute-by-minute updates on exactly where we are in the hate bill fight. And so what I'll do in about 2 weeks probably, just as soon as we get those 40 judiciary members, I'll post those at Truth Tellers. Go back on the radio, I'll publicize it, and if you're getting our e-alerts, you can know immediately at that time. Contact your pastor, your friends, your Christian conservative club or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and get on the phone, spend an hour or two just calling all 40 members of the judiciary. Now, this
yeah.
is very good for the liberals because it shows how unpopular the hate bill is. It's
right.
also very, very good for Republicans, starting with the House Judiciary Committee, because
yeah.
last time around it gave them tremendous impetus and courage and inspiration to fight. And, you know, in the previous Congress, the Republicans sat by and not a single one of them spoke as the hate bill was passed in the House of Representatives. It passed in 45
mm-hmm.
minutes.
Right.
But a year later, we blitzed basically those same Republicans. And no less than 11 Republicans in the House Judiciary Committee sprang to their feet.
Mm-hmm.
They demanded to water down the hate bill. They proposed 11 different amendments watering down the hate bill.
Right.
Of course, the Democrats and Representative Conyers dominated, and the hate bill did get passed through Judiciary and through the House. Nevertheless, the courage and the inspiration we gave those Republicans radiated out through
yeah.
the House of Representatives and basically was very instrumental in,
mm-hmm.
in killing about five or six other pieces of
right.
of Orwellian legislation in the last Congress.
Right. Well,
so,
as you well know, you know, my ministry and yours as well have focused to a large extent on exposing Jewish-originated limitations on our rights as Americans. Okay, and
yes.
certainly the ADL is one of the major culprits in this organization. I know for a fact that the ADL gave Hugh Hefner and Bob Guccione, the Playboy and Penthouse,
uh-huh.
awards for freedom of speech. Okay,
oh, yeah.
And now they turn around, and so according to them, pornography is freedom of speech.
Yes.
Okay, now they want to say that anybody who criticizes the the gay lobby and quotes the Bible, that cannot be freedom of speech.
No.
Isn't that hypocrisy?
Hate. Yeah, that's hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what we have to do is to be proactive. I mean, we can't. I have stated that if the history shows that the people like Alexander the Great and Napoleon and so on, they won battles because they were proactive. They took the battle
yes.
to the enemy with
contend for the faith
with vigor and so that's what we have to do here. We can't wait around for 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks now, until this bill has already gone through Judiciary and onto the
yeah.
floor of the House. That's just madness. We have to get in there and very loudly let our members of Congress know that we are not going to stand for the same kind of legal system that has taken away free speech in Canada being established in the United States of America.
Right, right. Yeah, and America is the last bastion of freedom of speech, a last bastion of the rights of the citizens to bear arms against tyrannical despots,
right.
which we have a series of in both the Democratic Party and the Republican
it
Party.
Is.
And so, yes, if Christians do not become proactive, this country is lost.
That's right. And if we lose our precious freedom of speech, then all our other freedoms basically will very quickly go down the drain. So this is a pivotal moment in history. We have defeated the hate bill five times in the last 10 years, always against overwhelming odds.
Mm-hmm.
Always it seemed like there was no chance of success. But God and a small number of patriotic Americans joined with us in making those calls. And I should also mention that at truthtellers.org, we do have also the complete list, the latest list of all members of Congress.
Okay.
And that includes the 100 members of the Senate. And I would, if you have limited resources or limited time, I would suggest that you call the members of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the vote will come up first in the House, we are so overwhelmingly outnumbered in the House. And the real battle, I think, where we stand a good chance of winning is in the United States Senate.
Right.
And, in fact, in the last year, no less than four Democrats saw the light and came over and voted against their hate bill colleagues, and they had been hate bill supporters before that.
Outstanding.
Now, you see, it's only
the more money the Jews throw down the rat hole, the better.
Well, if we can get those four to again vote against the hate bill, and maybe another two or three, and then get a couple of turncoat Republicans to come over back over to reality, there's a good chance we can defeat it in the Senate.
Yeah,
and we have to defeat both these bills. In fact,
well, I get your internet newsletters, and then as soon as you have that list of those of that congressional committee.
Yeah,
that's a congressional committee you're talking about, right?
Well, this is in the House of Representatives. The four, you see, every piece of legislation has to go through the House.
Right.
Having to do with
the judiciary has
to go through the House Judiciary Committee.
Yes. Okay. So that committee, right? So as soon as you have that information, send it to me. I will forward it to my family.
You'll hear about it. Believe me. That's our next big stage in this threat.
Well, now, interestingly, you know, of course, in Illinois, we have a similar situation where the governasty, Blagojevich, has just been impeached by the state House.
Oh, okay. He has.
Yes, he has. And now it's the state Senate that is going to vote as to whether to have an impeachment trial or not, which I believe they will. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very similar to, you know, how Congress works at the national level. So the House of Representatives has, you know, creates this legislation, and then the Senate votes on it.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so if you have a list of those senators, those are the people we should contact, yeah.
Well, right now we do have the list of senators, and what I'm saying is for the next two or three weeks until all the new members of the House Judiciary Committee are seated, an excellent use of people's time is to make those calls. And you don't have to do it all at once. Just call a couple before you go off to work in the morning or whatever. And before you know it, you'll have all 100. But it's very important because the Republican members of the Senate last year behaved very poorly. They did not come. Except for Senator Orrin Hatch, they did not stand up and fight like they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons they didn't was because everybody was first putting all their efforts into the House of Representatives, and the members of the Senate did not receive the full force of public opinion.
Yes.
They didn't realize it was this important issue.
Okay.
And I think also they wanted to go ahead and let the hate bill pass so President Bush could have the glory of voting, vetoing it.
That didn't
work out too well.
Right. Yeah, so what we're seeing here is obviously the politicians want to be able to say, well, we passed it if it works out well, and then they want to be able to say, well, I didn't support it if it doesn't work out well. And so they're basically hedging their bets, you know. So our position is that we have to be proactive and fight this right now.
Well, that's right. We can't take any chances.
Right. Okay. I'm going to have somebody's trying to call in, but there's just a lot of noise on the line. I'm going to have to mute that person. Okay. All right. So please continue, Reverend Pike.
Another thing we have to remember about the hate bill is that it's going to, if it's passed, it's going to follow the same pattern that we've seen in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
In America, the ADL standard line, and you'll hear every duped member of Congress telling you this back from their offices, oh, this is only a bill against violent hate crime.
Right.
You'll hear that again and again. People who call, they just get weary of this dumbed-down response from the members of Congress. The truth of the matter is that as soon as that bill is passed, then it's going to go the same route. You're mm-hmm. going to have hate crimes cases, and then you're going to have judges
yes.
judging on it in the courts, the federal courts, the local courts, and they're going to make a law surrounding, embroidering the hate law,
mm-hmm.
and inevitably these laws are going to broaden this law to become a speech crime law. Now,
right.
already, what we're seeing in the states
mm-hmm.
is that, you see, the ADL has persuaded 45 U.S. states
mm-hmm.
to adopt some version of its hate crimes law.
Wow.
And back in 2004, many of our listeners are probably aware that 11 Christians in Philadelphia were arrested by the district attorney, Lynn Abraham, Jewish head honcho of the ADL. Actually,
right.
she's a national executive board member of the ADL.
Right.
She arrested them for the hate crime
mm-hmm.
of witnessing to homosexuals and threatening 47 years in prison, $80,000
right.
fine, and on
yes.
and on. She did put them in jail for 21 hours.
Ah.
This was all under the ADL's Pennsylvania
mm-hmm.
state hate law, you see.
Yeah.
Now, there you have an example of if you read the text of the Pennsylvania law, there are these restrictions. You've got to have bias motivation coupled with some definable crime, et cetera.
Yes.
She just threw that all out the window. She says, I'm going to go after these Christians.
Yes.
I'm not going to worry about what's in the actual text of the law.
Right.
And so what is happening in the
testing
states?
Testing the waters,
now,
yes.
What's happening now already in the states is that these hate laws are overflowing their legal boundaries
yes.
and restrictions.
Well,
and
let me put it this way, Reverend Pike, that a speech law, a law that prevents you from saying certain things, is only a hair's breadth away from a thought crime.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is Big Brother territory here.
What is speech but a manifestation of your thought?
That's right.
Yeah. But even now, just to illustrate how the states are beginning to play loose and free with hate crimes laws, this past year, Governor Schwarzenegger in California signed SB 777, which made it a hate crime, an offense for any person in the public school system of California, whether a student or a teacher,
mm-hmm.
to criticize homosexuality.
Yes.
Students would be expelled, the teachers
right.
would be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, over in Texas, Governor Bill Ritter signed SB 200, which makes it a speech crime, a hate crime, to criticize homosexuality, especially in the business community, in the literature and
right.
practices of the business community
right.
of Colorado. Now, there's an example where you make criminals out of Bible-believing Christians with no violation of any substantial law.
Exactly.
You
no
see?
Law. Exactly. No violation of any law. Really.
No.
You know. just expressing their opinion.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And if they can get away with that and continue this trend, what we'll see is that if we actually have a federal law with the tremendous prestige and empowerments of a federal law, there'll be no holding back us going into a
yes.
two justice system here. We'll have the old fashioned English law for dealing with vandalism and car theft and
mm-hmm.
things like that. But we will also have a new bias orientation, bias
sure.
motivation justice system, which is running parallel to that. That's what they have it in Canada. They have the tribunal, hate
right.
crimes tribunal system.
Exactly.
In which motivation is everything as far as the criteria of whether
right.
you are guilty or innocent.
And the motivation of the ADL is never called into question.
No, of course not. No,
well, Reverend Pike,
I
see we're just about at the end of the half hour. So why don't you give us your contact information one more time. And, you know, let people know, you know, exactly how they can help you in this effort
yes.
to expose this ridiculous legislation.
Well, I'll just quickly give you the two phone numbers to call immediately. Call your members of Congress. The toll-free number to Congress is 877-851-6437. And the toll number is 202-225-3137. And you can just come to Truth Tellers on the Internet. We have all those numbers, videos, we have literature, all kinds of resources to make sure this never gets out of its bottle this time around.
All right, fantastic. Well, I tell you what. So when do you expect this vote to take place? Maybe we could do another show after that, or maybe
well,
just before.
Well, I would say probably we should do a show when we get the when we get all 40 members of the House Judiciary intact and seated.
Okay.
Then we got another call for action at that time. So maybe you could get
yes.
in touch with me, and we need another wave of motivation to get calls flooding into the
right.
the House Judiciary. As far as
okay.
the vote, nobody knows the answer to that.
Right, right. So we need to put a little firecracker on their seat.
You bet.
All right, Reverend Pike, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much,
okay.
Eli.
All right, bye-bye.